Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast, where you can expect cutting-edge information and strategies relating to success mindset, leadership, wealth creation, and relationships, all based in universal law and David Nagel's own experience as he rose from minimum wage forklift driver to multi-million dollar business owner. So, let's go.
Hey everyone, this is David Nagel. Welcome to Successful Mind Podcast. All right, so today I want to answer a question that came in from one of our listeners. And the question was, how do I break free from the middle class mindset of working hard? Great question. So I want to answer this from a couple different perspectives, because for a long time, for all my career, basically, I've been telling people you can do more with less effort. And the connotation, I think, in a person's mind when we talk about working hard is that there's something about it that we don't like. I think that that is the middle class, the working class, at least when I was doing that myself, there was a connotation about something about the hard work that we were doing. We actually didn't like it, and that's why it felt hard. So if you think about hard as a feeling, like when you're really working at something, or you're trying to overcome an obstacle or figure something out or meet a deadline or whatever, and there's some kind of internal pressure, maybe a severe consequence if it doesn't happen, there's a boss breathing down your neck, whatever it might be, there's something about it that you don't like. And I think that for a lot of people that are in a middle class lifestyle, one of the questions that you have to ask yourself is, do you really love what you do when it comes to your work? And I remember the first time that I heard that question, and I was thinking to myself, oh, no, I do not love what I do. And yet I was so stuck in the idea that I needed to continue to do it, partially because I had a lot of responsibilities in my life. It wasn't like I was rich or anything. I couldn't just walk away from working. I had, I was raising children and mortgage payments and car payments and, you know, all of that stuff. How could you possibly just walk away from something because you don't like it? That's completely irresponsible. And one of the things that that I was personally learning at the time was that it was actually irresponsible for me to keep doing something that I didn't enjoy doing, that I was not being of service to myself. Now, that does not mean that the other responsibilities were less important, because they weren't. Those were my responsibilities, but I was using the idea that I needed to stay stuck in doing something I didn't like doing as an excuse to stay there, versus really, really, really diving deep and saying, what is it that I would love to do? And then finding a way to actually go out there and make money doing it. So let's talk about a couple of things that add up to this, because easy answer to this question is remove the word hard and replace it with the word diligent. You're diligently working at whatever it is that you're working at, because here's the real truth. From a perspective of, it's going to take a lot of work on your part to bring about the success that you want. That's absolutely true. Success is not like, hey, I got a winning lottery ticket and that's it, it's over. It is about consistent, businesses that are successful, entrepreneurs that are successful, they put a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of heart, a lot of soul into what they want to do, which I'm going to talk about that in a couple of minutes here, and figuring out how to make what they want to do work. In other words, from a cause and effect perspective, it produces the desired outcome and it returns the desired reward in their life. So both of those things begin to match up at some point. And then it's about consistency, okay? Consistently doing the things on a regular basis that are going to produce the desired outcome and return the desired reward. So where does the middle class mindset come in where that kind of screws all of this up? So it comes in several different places. The first one was already with, I believe her name was Stacy that asked the question, was the word hard. So you could just write that down. The second word I want you to write down is the word love. And the third one I want you to write down is time. Okay, so that's what we're going to deal with today. Hard, love, and time. So if we come from this idea that most people, and it's true, let me give you a statistic to just show you how true this is, okay? If you earn over $400,000 a year, when you get to the $400,000 a year mark, you're in the top 1% of income earners in the United States. The top 1% at $400,000, okay? So if a person's earning under $400,000, they're anywhere between the top 1% and the bottom. And I was at the bottom for a long time. I mean, I was in the $20,000 to $63,000 range for a very, very long time in my early adulthood. And there were these three things that kept showing up. Number one, I was working extremely hard. I was working 6.5 days a week. I was working two jobs, basically. I lived at two different times. Well, one time I lived 60 miles away from work. Another time I lived 100 miles away from work. So I had long commutes to where it is that I worked. And the reason for those long commutes was that I couldn't afford to live close to where I worked. So I had to live further away. And the jobs that paid me the money that provided the income that I was making at that time were not anywhere around where I was living. So I had to live further away and I had to drive further to get to work. So, when you use the word love, if you were to ask me, do you love what you do? It was absolutely no. I hated what I was doing. I hated it. I eventually developed the attitude to act like I love what I did, which made a huge change in my results, but that's for another story. But the real idea was that no, I was not happy with what I did. I didn't like what I did, and I didn't like the people that I was hanging around at the time. So it made it harder every day to get yourself up out of bed, to go to work, to put on a smiley face, to do the very best job that you possibly can. And then the third word, time, comes into this. So time is that behind all of our thinking in our life, there is this idea of time. And especially in the middle class, working class mindset, the idea of time is, when is this going to stop? Now, this is ingrained in us since we're kids, okay? So we get involved in having to do things a lot of kids don't like to do. A lot of kids don't like to go to school. They don't like, whether they don't like learning or the regimen of it or whatever. Those people would be being forced to do something that they don't like. I was one of those kids. Yes, there are tons of kids that love school and learning. I think that's great. I love learning. I just didn't like school. So, but school is regimented, right? So it's all about time. What time do we have to get up? What time do we have to be at school? What time do we get to go to recess? What time do we get to go to our lunch break? What time do we get to go home? What time is dinner time? What time is homework time? What time is bedtime? We have all of these ideas of time. Then we have, when is the weekend? So when is it going to stop? And, you know, we have the, you know, hump day is Wednesday. We have, TGIF, thank God it's Friday. And it's a culture that is being taught that we're doing something that we hate to do so that we can get a little bit of time to do something that we enjoy doing. So for the middle class, working class, that is the weekend. That is the 1 or 2 weeks vacation that a person gets a year. And then they have to work 30 or 40 or 50 years or however long to get to retirement. And then at retirement, generally, they take a huge pay cut and they have to live on less than what was not enough to begin with in the first place. So to me, that's not life. But all of this wraps up into why it makes it hard. And we're making it hard because, number one, we're doing something we don't like to do, so we're not loving what we do. We're focused on when is it going to be over. Now, this is also a huge detriment from when a person makes a transformation from working for someone else and they decide that they're going to start their own business. So let me just make this statement right here, right now. Not everyone is designed to run their own business. They're just not. It's not everybody's purpose either. I believe everybody's purpose is to be successful in what they were put here to do. That does not necessarily mean running their own business is what they were put here to do. You have to love more than what you do in the business to run a business. You have to love the idea of business itself. So let me say that one more time so that you really understand this, because I remember hearing this in the mid-90s somewhere. I was at a conference when somebody said this, and I had never heard this, and it was like, whoa, you need to pay attention to this. It was like one of those real big aha light bulb moments. Because they were talking about why so many people fail in business. And they asked for a show of hands in the audience, and they said, how many people that own a business love what they do in the business, like the reason for the business, whatever it is you're selling, your product or your service? Every hand went up. Then they said, now by a show of hands, how many people love the business of doing business? And there were only a few hands that went up. And we're talking probably about 1,700 people were in the audience, and they were all business owners. So this person went on to explain that you'll never be successful in business if you don't love the business of doing business. If you just love the products and services that are in the business, or the other various emotional aspects that a person can get from owning a business, you will never be successful in business. You have to love the business of business, and you have to love doing the things that most people in business or most people in life actually really detest doing, and that is the sales, the marketing, the hiring, the firing, the managing, the structure, the constantly overcoming competition, so that you can stay in business, the vision of moving forward, the risk that goes with running your own business, because anything can change at any moment, and you find you could almost be out of business, and you have to be able to rally and figure out, how do I stay in business, and not how do I just stay in business, but how do I turn this problem into a thriving businesses? You know, the pile heap of people who have gone out of business is absolutely enormous. There is a reason that most businesses don't make it, right? The statistics for people in business that fail are astounding. I mean, when you look at them, you think to yourself, why would anybody? You have better odds in Vegas than you do in a business. And the reason for this is because it requires so much personal growth. That's the reason. You have to get your head straight, and you have to get your actions to match your thinking. In order to, and you have to have some smarts about you, and you have to surround yourself with smart people also, in order to maintain a business and keep it growing and keep it moving forward. So the initial detriments to this start off based on where it is that you came from. So if you were taught that that you basically received your confidence, your pride in yourself, your self-respect, your own ethics from working hard in something that you don't like and working hard with people that you don't like, then it's going to be a big transformation for you to be able to break away from that and say, you know what? I'm going to do something that I love to do, and I'm going to surround myself with people that I love. Now, why is that such a big transformation? Well, number one, you got to let go of the other two things first. You got to let go of the business or the job that you don't love, and you have to let go of the people that you don't want to be around. So then you have to replace that. As human beings, one of the things that we do is attach. We attach for safety reasons. It's something that starts when we're born. We're attached to mom. And we're attached emotionally, we're attached psychologically. That keeps the subconscious mind knowing that it's going to be alive, that it's going to survive. It's a pretty well-known fact that if you don't touch a baby, if you like never touch a baby, the baby will die. Because the baby is, you know, there's nothing to verify that that baby is going to stay alive. We're wired for this inside of us. So this is why we attach to things, because we have this innate need for security. When you move from working from somebody else to your own business, you have to internalize that security based on what you can show yourself that you can do. So this is where the personal growth comes in. Now, as far as the time factor goes, I see people bring this into business all the time, where they're running a business, but they're acting like they work in a job, meaning that they're always looking for when is it going to be done, and they're making decisions based on that also. Like, when do I have, one of the things that I hear, because I'm in the personal development industry, is when do I get to stop going to personal development or business seminars and self-growth stuff? The answer should be never. Like, why would you stop? And what they're really saying is, when do I get to stop spending money on this stuff? The answer is never. Like, you never stop spending money on a car, on food, on healthcare, on your shelter, anywhere else in your life. Why would you stop spending money on your own development? But nobody really thinks that. When you say it, then people go, oh yeah, that kind of does make sense. Although it doesn't alleviate the idea in their mind that they keep having to spend money on something. So that's another piece of this puzzle that has to fall into place. You have to get comfortable being uncomfortable with a lot of different things in order to succeed in business and break free from this is hard and I'm suffering to, hey, I love this. I jump out of bed every day excited. I want to go to work. I want to make a difference. I want to stretch and learn and grow. That's really what turns me on in life. And I think part of the big key about that is loving what you do. Really finding what it is that you're passionate about in life. And I know that there's a lot of arguments against this, but here's the thing. I don't think that we're put here to be miserable. I just don't. You don't see it in nature. You don't see it anywhere other than human beings. Human beings are the only species of life that we're aware of that can think a thought, and that thought will either make them miserable or ecstatic and happy. Whatever thought they're holding in their mind can make them have either a miserable experience in life or a happy experience in life or anywhere in between. All other life just follows whatever its purpose is. And in a lot of my seminars, I'll say, you know, you don't see animal life like squirrels or bears or possums or whatever standing outside medical clinics looking for their next Zoloft or Xanax or whatever. But you see millions and millions of people doing this. And a lot of the reasons are because we have so many unresolved issues about who we really are that it becomes very difficult for us to be happy. And I think it's one of the most foundational things in our life is to find out what it is that brings us joy and do that, right? That is the most important thing, is to find out what brings you joy and do that thing. So the idea then is that when you are in love with what you do, time changes. So if you think about this from a different perspective, if you're in pain, and let's say you were to get injured, and you were injured pretty bad, you had real severe pain, like on a scale from, you know, 1 to 10, you were an 11, right? And you're in the doctor's office, you're thinking about, your primary focus is get this pain to stop, right? And if you were to have a conversation with the doctor and the doctor was to tell you, look, this pain is not going to stop for a long period of time, that would not feel good. And number one, you would be completely focused on the time. If they told you that you're going to have this pain for 5 more hours and there's nothing we can do about it, you're going to be sitting there watching the freaking clock, just ticking it off. It's going to be absolutely excruciating and time's going to go by very, very slow. When you're not in pain, when you're happy, when you're enjoying your life, and when you're in love, whether it's with a person or a thing, it's almost like time doesn't exist. And you can be in the moment of doing something and you have no realization of time and it just absolutely flies by because you're not focused on time and you're not focused on something that you don't like to do. You're in the bliss of the moment. So that time just kind of evaporates. And here's the other thing. Think about when you fell in love with a person. You didn't have to put a note to remind yourself to think about that person every day, right? You see their face everywhere. You think about them all the time. Sometimes it's intrusive and you have to think to yourself, okay, I need to stop thinking about this person and actually get something done. But when you're in love with something, it's there in the forefront of what you're doing on a very consistent basis. So why would we, being that we have the ability to experience that in our life, that kind of love and that kind of passion, why would we not do something that brings us that kind of love and that kind of passion? Does that mean you're not going to have a bad day? No, absolutely not. You will have a bad day. You'll have down days. But overall in your life, you're going to be on and up because you know that you love what it is that you do. And part of loving what it is that we do is to keep growing, to keep setting goals for ourselves, to keep moving forward. But if we're focused on time, if we're focused on that's too hard, if we're thinking to ourselves, I don't want to do that, or when is this going to be over, we will not allow ourselves to set those kinds of goals, to really look with some kind of vision for accomplishing what it is that we want to do. I also think that another thing that makes this hard that for people that makes them go from love to not liking what they're doing and it make time drag on is the consequence that is always looming in their back of their mind of what if this doesn't work? And really the idea is this. Nothing works on its own. People work. Things don't work, people work, okay? So could you make a mistake and lose everything? Absolutely you could. That is one of the logical things that you have to take into consideration when you do anything in your life. A matter of fact, we learn, and we have learned all of our life, by actually making mistakes. It was only that at some point in our life, people started telling us mistakes were not okay, and they linked it to our livelihood that we became so stressed out about making mistakes that we will do anything that we can to avoid the pain of actually making those mistakes. So what does that do? That takes away the joy, so there's no love. That makes time drag on because you're miserable, you're not growing, so you're doing the same thing over and over again, which generally gets boring for most people. And it becomes hard because when you're doing something that you don't like to do, to get yourself to do it every day then becomes a very hard thing. So this is why the middle class stays so stuck in this whole paradox with this mindset because their life never changes all that much. They're very much trapped in a box that they believe if they were to make a switch, the consequence could be too great. And somewhere in their mind, it's like they forget the idea that they could start over. They may use thoughts like, I'm too old to start over. I don't look good enough to start over. I don't have the money to start over. They may come up with what I call phantom fears, which is like, I remember my mother used to say when I was growing up and when I went into business, her line was, "What if something goes wrong?" And I would say, "Well, like what?" And she couldn't answer. She could not give me a logical answer. Like, she would just say, "Well, what if?" And then the more I would challenge her on it, the angrier she would get. So she had illogical fears that had built up in her life that she actually didn't know how to give voice or clarity to, but it came out as what if. So it was always like, what if, what if, what if? What if something goes wrong? What if something bad happens? Okay, so what if something goes wrong? I will fix it. I will change. I will do something different. I will seek help. I will get professional advice. I will find to adapt. I will find a way to adapt to it. I will find a way to grow, and I will find a way to overcome that challenge. But if you always stay in the what if mentality, then you cannot do those things because you're not identifying, number one, what the fear is or what the possibility of something going wrong is. Like, you've got to give voice to it. You have to give clarity with it. Like, what if sales stop? Okay, now that's something that we can address. If sales stop, that means there's a reason sales stopped. Once we figure out what the reason is, we can then change it and sales will start again, right? Otherwise, no business would be able to exist. Nobody would be able to move forward. And guess what? If you're middle class and have a job, you wouldn't have a job. So somebody is doing this and you're relying more on somebody else doing it and making the right calls than you are for yourself, if that's what you're supposed to do, if you're supposed to start a business. Now, what if you're not supposed to start a business? What if you're in a job, you love your job, and you're just dealing with some of these issues? Then the idea is basically the same. You have to learn to love what you do, or you have to put things in your life that you love what you do. If I was coaching this person, I would really coach them toward finding out what it is that they love to do and then getting them to make a decision to do that. But I know that there's a lot of people out there that will not really change all that much in their life. So they need to find things that are productive that they love to do, where they're not focused on time all of their life, and it's not so darn hard. The hard part brings in, I don't like what I'm doing, and when do I finally get to be done? When do I get off work? When do I get to go lunch? When is the weekend going to be here? When am I going to get my vacation? That is a clear indication that every day when you're getting out of bed, you're not excited about what it is that you're doing or who you're hanging out with. So again, to bring clarity to this, find out what you love to do. Turn hard into diligent. The other thing about when you're doing what you love, it doesn't seem hard, right? There may be challenges, there may be obstacles, but generally the enthusiasm to overcome them is more exciting than it is loathing or difficult or hard or sad or coming from a place of I don't want to do it. You actually come from a place that you do want to do it. And then when you're in that place, you're going to find that time kind of disappears and you really go through life pretty smoothly. You know, it's a pretty cool experience. So to Stacy, I think it was, Brandon, my technician over here, producer, I want to thank you for the question. I think it was a great question, and I encourage other people to ask questions, and over time, we will try to answer as many of them as we possibly can. But until then, I hope you got a lot from this lesson, and go out there and really do what you love. Work diligently, but do what you love. Till next time, this is David Nagel. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the Successful Mind podcast. As my gift to you for joining me today, I invite you to go to www.davidnagel.com/start-here. That's www.davidnagel.com/start-here, and pick up my free report. Also, it would be fantastic if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts, since it helps more people find the show. I appreciate any and all feedback, since it really helps me grow on this journey together. I will see you all next week. Just believe.